Welcome to the Take Your Power Back Show with Peak Performance Breakthrough Coach, Kim Yater. Today's empowering program will encourage you to step into your power, to take action in your leadership, and allow your voice to be heard. Listen in today as we speak to other freedom-loving Americans that are making a positive impact in the world by standing in truth amid adversity. Learn how to take your power back in your freedom, in your personal and professional life, in technology and creativity, and in your faith. Be inspired. Be encouraged. Be transformed. Together, let's take your power back with our host, Peak Performance Breakthrough Coach, Kim Yater.
Well, hello, hello, hello. We are live all across the country. We are live internationally right now, and we are so excited that you are with us today. Welcome to the Take Your Power Back Show. I am your host, Kim Yater, Peak Performance Master Coach. And let me just tell you, it doesn't matter who I am. This is not about me. Today, this is about you. This is about us. This is about the American people who are standing for truth and who are standing to take our justice back. In today's show, you will be empowered to step into your God-given power, access your leadership, and allow your God-given voice to be heard. Today's Take Your Power Back show, Operation Clean Sleep, Clean Sweep. Let's say that again. Operation Clean Sweep, because there's a sweep and that's coming. We'll be speaking with retired Assistant Chief Sean Taylor and former City Attorney Bryant Kroll as they uncover the witch hunt against Millersville Police Department and Veterans for Child Rescue. This is the first of a three-part series unfolding the evidence of mass corruption on a transnational level with tentacles far and wide from Canada to the Ukraine, the BRICS nations, and China. What are we dealing with? We're dealing with election fraud. We're dealing with voter fraud, geopolitical shifting, human trafficking cover-ups, fraudulent mortgages, hundreds of billions, if not trillions, in fraud and embezzlement. Today, there will be no commercials on this show. There will be no interruptions. It will be a flow of evidence exposing Kim Kelly, Philip Drake, Phil Williams from Channel 5 Tennessee News, the AOC, FBI, and the Tennessee Bureau of Investigations. This civil federal RICO case that we will discuss, this civil federal RICO case, let me just distinguish that, get clear on that we will be discussing today, is just a microcosm of this systematic corruption and opens the door for a federal criminal RICO case and a template for every single one of us here today to fight this corruption. Before we bring in these truth and justice-seeking warriors into the room, we're going to play a video that retired Assistant Chief Sean Taylor and former City Attorney Bryant Kroll made to kickstart the Operation Clean Sweep three-part series. So guys, stand by. I am bringing it in. And here we go. Stand by 1 second. That baby is coming up. Don't you worry.
Hello, everyone. I'm retired Assistant Chief Sean Taylor. I'm here today to tell you about a series of shows that we're going to be doing. These shows are going to explain to you, the people, how you can take your power back and help President Trump fight the corruption that has plagued our nation. We're going to be discussing the corruption. We're going to be talking about the systemic voter fraud, the systemic election fraud, mortgage fraud, and especially child trafficking, and how the city of Millersville was targeted by the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation, Kim Kelly, and several others to attack us and discredit us. But as you know, America still stands because people stood up and they fought back. So the series of shows that we're going to be doing is going to be educating the people, we the people. Because again, President Trump is one man. He needs all of us to come together to assist him in this fight. What we've done is we've come up with a civil RICO case to start attacking this corruption. And I'd like to introduce the attorney that's doing this, the former city attorney of Millersville, Bryant Kroll. Bryant Kroll has already filed a civil RICO case in Tennessee regarding all of the things we have discussed.
Thank you, Sean. Bryant, as viewers are aware of the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation raid on your house, but the lawsuit I filed on behalf of two Millersville detectives reveals how they were working with Sean Taylor to investigate money laundering, corruption, voter fraud, and election fraud shortly before the TBI executed those raids. Now, RICO cases are popular in the news lately, so we hope to educate viewers on how they work, what racketeering is, and what it includes, and things of that nature. This lawsuit reveals government overreach, retaliation, violations of constitutional rights, and a racketeering scheme that obstructed a lawful police investigation into child trafficking and was there to arrest pedophiles that were in and around Millersville, Tennessee. Now, the lawsuit quotes disturbing admissions from defendants Kim Kelly and Phil Drake, who are alleged to have orchestrated a racketeering scheme involving targeting individuals to financially exploit them for their own personal gain. The lawsuit alleges that the detectives infiltrated the undercover infiltrated the undercover pedophile sting conducted by the Millersville Police Department, and then provided the TBI and media with fabricated evidence, false statements, and edited recordings in order to target these detectives and promote their own unlawful business, a business which involved purchasing trafficked children and concealing them at a compound at an undisclosed location. We'll go through the lawsuit and show how Sean Taylor actually created a task force among various state agencies, which included the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation, the purpose of which was to combat various issues of corruption, election fraud, voter fraud, mortgage fraud, and money laundering. Detectives Todd Doris and Michael Candler were investigating these crimes. They'd accumulated the evidence and had even invited the local district attorney to come discuss the case over lunch. Instead of allowing these detectives to present these issues, the TBI executed a public raid, taking the evidence by force. We'll discuss not only what was taken from Sean Taylor's house, but also what was left behind. The lawsuit alleges concerning acts and omissions occurring among government officials at multiple levels. Join us as we break down this lawsuit, which may serve as a template for citizens in other states to use to hold their officials accountable. The show will air Thursday, January 30th at 10 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Mountain, 12 p.m. Central, and 1 p.m. Eastern on rumble.com/takeyourpowerbackshow/live.
It's time, people. It's time we, the people, get together, take our power back, and start getting some accountability. The accountability is what matters. That's how we're going to ensure the future for our children and our grandchildren to make this country great again. God bless, and we'll see you soon.
Welcome to the Take Your Power Back Show. Assistant Chief Sean Taylor, retired, and former city attorney Bryant Kroll. Gentlemen, you have been working very hard behind the scenes. And Sean, we're talking about 16 years of what we would call a murder board, connecting all the dots. It's so good to see you guys. And I want to get a little bit of a lowdown from you, Sean, as to how we got here, how you got to Millersville, Tennessee. So first, let's say hello. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hello, hello. Sean, give us the lowdown.
So, you know, we've had a lot going on, Bryant and I, really, for, I guess 8 or 9 years on stuff that we've been working on together. And our paths literally came together by happenstance, really. And
we ended up, I had criminal cases that I was looking into that Bryant was looking into civilly that I had no clue about. And so, you know, our paths crossed and we were tired of the corruption. We are tired of people being taken advantage of, people's rights being violated, and all of these things. And that formed one heck of a bond between us. And I ended up at Millersville. Before I went back to Millersville, there was a lot of bad things that were happening there with the police department and the city officials and things like that previous to us getting there. And it was really, really bad stuff. I'm talking like supposedly drugs coming up missing, money's coming up missing, offenses that were not going investigated that were major offenses. There was a lot of hanky-panky happening within the city council itself with property deals, people who were elected to office that didn't even live within the city limits, who had lied on their voters registration, who had lied on their paperwork to run for office and all of these things. So prior to getting to Millersville, I was contacted by a lot of citizens that were fed up with it. They were selling commission. The police department was selling commission cards to assist with a off-duty security company that has ties into the Ukraine. I mean, there's so much that was there to unpack that it literally took months to go through what was there. Then the documentation that we had to obtain through FOIA requests to put together. And so we jumped through the hoops that we needed to, that the law requires you to. And there was a special election that came up, and one of the people that won the election was one of the patriots that wanted this corruption stopped at the city of Millersville. So once the city council, there's five people on the city council. Once they had the majority of three that were like-minded, patriotic, Christian conservatives, they asked for certain people to come in to start running the agencies there to start cleaning up the corruption. And I was asked to come in as the assistant chief to assist in doing this. So that's really where we got started. And we had put together some paperwork on the Christina Templet, who was a city commissioner, who is the one that had illegally registered to vote, illegally registered to run for office, and had other major crimes that were committed. We've got probable cause for all of this to be able to prove it. She really didn't like me being there. She didn't like us being there.
She didn't, did she?
And we're constantly on the attack. But we brought all of this stuff to the Board of Ethics for the state of Tennessee. It was brought to the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation. It was brought to the state attorney general's office. We had private meetings with the state attorney general on it. And by the time I got there, they brought Bryant Kroll in as a city attorney. Bryant and I had discussed once I got there, bringing in the state attorney and requesting that the state attorney general bring us in impanel a investigative grand jury.
Sean, we lose you.
Who have no connections to anything that's happening at Millersville. That way it's not an opinion of one side or the other. It's truly people from the outside who don't have a skewed view of things. And we were denied that based on the law and the way that they interpret the law here in Tennessee, that the local district attorney, Ray Whitley, wouldn't allow this to happen, because Ray Whitley has been much of the thorn in everybody's side. Mm. He seems to be part of this good old boy system, part of this network, this criminal organization. I've been very active and very vocal about calling him out for basically putting two men in prison and what looks like framing them. And he was chastised by the court for that. And these men were finally released. So, you know, there was so much to unpack. But so when I got in there and Bryant was there, we started by asking for an investigative grand jury, prosecutor pro tem. We were denied that. I made contact with the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation and sent them an email to them and regards to their criminal justice portal, mm-hmm. where we pull information for investigations, because when you start an investigation, you have to get the background on the individuals and things of that nature. I'd contacted the TBI. I contacted the administrative office of the courts, who was over the other portal there with the TBI. And the administrative office of the courts was more than receptive, worked with me diligently, and provided me all of the information that I needed to be able to discern if a crime had been committed or if it hadn't been committed. At the end of our day, what our opinion is of law enforcement officers and investigators, it doesn't matter. Our opinion does not matter. It's what the evidence shows and where the evidence leads you. We were able to put together enough evidence and provide to the administrative office of the courts that I requested their assistance with creating a task force to go after this corruption. At the same time, Bryant and I and the Chief Morris were also having meetings with the Department of Commerce and Insurance, who is over the police officer standards of training and licensing and all of that stuff to do in the state of Tennessee, including the security companies and things like that. So what I did is I went to the head of the stream. I went to the people who were in charge to gather the information, to ask for their assistance, to get help, to go after this. Because if I didn't do my due diligence and jump through every hoop, then when we get to the very top, they're going to say, well, you skipped something, so you got to go back and do it again. So, you know, we put together this task force, including the TBI. The TBI was read in on this. We have the emails to prove it. You know, we got the emails to validate and verify all of this. And the next thing we know, we started doing this this child trafficking operation. Kim Kelly had infiltrated it under a pretty bad pretext of wanting to disrupt and cause issue with us doing the child trafficking op. And, you know, who goes into something like that? We're trying to take pedophiles off the street, and she's going into this to disrupt us, to keep that from happening. And, you know, she was with this guy named Philip Drake, who assisted her in this. And he's been he's quite the character you guys will see today. And he's currently sitting down in Hidalgo County in jail right now for more criminal offenses. He's got probably 15, 16, 17 previous charges. You know, and she came in, disrupted this, and with the assistance of other organizations. And, you know, the reason that they're attacking us like this is the first thing that they want to take is our credibility so that we can't bring anything to the people. Well, they can try to attack our credibility, but the simple fact of the matter is when we have the evidence, we have the proof, you can't attack the evidence and the proof. And that's just a fact. So Bryant and I began discussing everything after we had a recent election, which was right after the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation raided us in my home on September 4th. And that was just previous to a new city election in November. So, you know, the TBI has come in and pretty much altered an election by serving invalid search warrants on us to take all of our intelligence that we had gathered, that we were trying to share with them, that we were trying to share with the district attorney. We've got emails where we invited the district attorney to lunch to come look at the information that we had so we could go forward with the case. But instead of doing that, the TBI raids us, mm-hmm. and takes the information that we were trying to get them to work with us on.
Yeah. Sean, so, how about we pull up that video real quick? So some of our listeners and viewers today, they don't know that story. Mm-hmm. And that video that you posted that had over 10 million views, I want these guys to get a taste of it. They were just, the shares went everywhere, which is pretty amazing. So stand by 1 second. Let's pull that up. And here we go.
Hello, everyone. I'm Assistant Chief Sean Taylor with the Millersville Police Department in Middle Tennessee. Many of you may have seen my video last week regarding the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation raiding our police department and my personal residence. They came and they seized evidence regarding corruption that we had locally that tied into corruption nationally, and they took all of our files so that we are unable to complete these cases. The cases that we've been working on
affect every American. They affect us in the mortgages, fraudulent mortgages, human trafficking, narcotics trafficking, and many other crimes. We have crisscrossed the United States talking to state attorney generals, senators, congresspeople, and numerous law enforcement officials throughout the United States. We've identified a major corruption that's transnational. It involves the BRICS nations and China and investment companies and fraudulent mortgages on homes here in the United States in very key counties and key states. It goes into the election integrity and fraud, and it's creating a geopolitical shift within our political system. This is a multifaceted attack from a foreign adversary who is paying off our local municipal, county, state, and federal politicians to keep from coming to light. We are moving forward with this case in other states and other arenas, even though they have taken our files and our information. This is very important to us. When I say us, I mean we the people. It's time that we the people come together. It's time that we stop allowing ourselves to be segregated by our own government. No matter what race you are, what creed, or what religion you are Americans. We need to stand together as Americans and demand accountability of our elected officials. It's time for this corruption to stop and for us to have our country back so that we know we leave it in the good hands of our children, our grandchildren. Because if we don't stand up and do this, we will no longer have a country to hand over to them. I'd like to send a special thanks out to Mark Fincham. He wrote a very good article that all of you can go and read at yournews.com regarding the information that I'm talking about tonight. One of the things that happened that really upsets me that the FBI did at my residence was they urinated in my bathtub and tracked urine throughout my home. To me, that was the government saying, piss on you, America. And that's not okay. It's time to stand up, unify, come together peacefully, and demand accountability. Thank you very much.
Wow, Sean, powerful. Okay, demanding accountability. So what we're bringing to the table today is the evidence and the tools so that we know how to demand this accountability, right?
Correct. And one of those ways is through the civil court. Attorney Bryant Kroll and I have sat down and discussed everything and what was decided, because this is a criminal organization that involves district attorneys, it involves judges, it involves other elected officials, from senators, state representatives, county commissioners, county mayors. It involves people with the property assessor's office, all the way down to your municipalities. And when you have an organization like this that we've been able to chart and document through emails, through meetings and things of that nature, you have an organization. And so what we came up with was the RICO. And the best person to explain what a RICO case is and how this works is attorney Bryant Kroll. Bryant?
Thanks, Sean. So yeah, civil RICO and criminal RICO are very similar. In fact, the elements overlap. What RICO stands for is a racketeering influence corrupt organization. So these types of cases were created to help combat things like the drug cartel and organized crime and basically what you think it is. So the elements overlap, and I'll kind of tell you what civil RICO is and what it is, just generally what it is before we get into the details of this lawsuit and introduce these defendants a little bit more. So racketeering, legal definition of racketeering is engaging in a pattern of racketeering activity. It's one of those definitions that defines itself with the word. So it says pattern of racketeering activity in connection with any enterprise whose activities affect interstate commerce. So racketeering activity includes a variety of criminal acts such as murder, kidnapping, gambling, arson, robbery, bribery, extortion, dealing in controlled substances, anything chargeable under state law for felonies over a year. So you also get into money laundering. You get into things like human trafficking and slavery and peonage, things that that are still going on to this day in the form of child trafficking and human trafficking. So if you've got a pattern of racketeering activity, that's two acts of a racketeering activity, so any of those other illicit acts going on, the RICO statute allows you to go back 10 years. So you have to have two predicate acts within 10 years. Now that's, if anybody knows anything about lawsuits, that is an amazing statute of limitations. It's one of the longest ones that there is. Tennessee tort statutes, for example, you usually have 1 year for personal injury. And after that, you lose the claim. RICO, yeah, 10 years. So you start looking for a racketeering enterprise. What is an enterprise? That's a legal entity, a corporation, or a person, or a group of individuals, what they call an association in fact, of individuals who are engaged in this racketeering activity. So you have to allege two or more racketeering offenses, the existence of this enterprise, and then it has to affect interstate commerce. Now, I'm sure, Kim, your readers understand how, viewers understand how broad interstate commerce is. That's the internet, that's mail, that's anything that goes across state lines, that's cell phones, that's all of this stuff affects interstate commerce. It's one of the broadest things. So people can use this statute, if you've got those connections, to try to bring civil RICO cases and hold people accountable. So essentially, you can look at things inside of, say, an election commission or donor fraud or any kind of thing where you've got a money laundering operation. So illicit funds, for example, if you've made money in an illicit way, say you're abusing a 501c3, for example, or you're just flat out engaging in tax fraud, that makes all of that money infected, for example. So moving into the case at hand, I'll explain how that works. So this case is brought on behalf of Captain Todd Doris and Detective Michael Candler, who are currently employed at the city of Millersville and who were working very closely with Sean Taylor on these cases. So the defendants are Kim Kelly and Phil Drake, and their businesses, essentially, their enterprises that are associated with them. So Kim Kelly is a self-described activist and a digital strategist. She's named in this alongside Phil Drake for what they've done with the joint Millersville and Veterans for Child Rescue pedophiles thing that took place between May 17th and May 19th of last year. So Veterans for Child Rescue came in to help educate Millersville detectives on how to conduct an undercover pedophile sting. It went off there were plenty of things that were going wrong that we couldn't really identify what was happening at the time. But in retrospect, once we figured out what these defendants were there to do, and that's based on their own admissions, they were there to interfere with this thing from day one. They were in there to destroy Veterans for Child Rescue and the Millersville Police Department. And that's based on their admissions that came in August when they went on a publicity tour. So and this is according to Phil Drake, he'd earned money when he was a federal contractor, and very disturbing allegations. This is from him, that he was down at the border. We don't know how long ago this started or whatever, but he's indicated sometime between he was doing it for 5 to 10 years, something like that, under multiple administrations, where he would be down somewhere on the border separating immigrant children from their parents, and then the parents would be killed and the children would be essentially sold off. Now, that is the quintessence of an illegal act that actually constitutes international terrorism. There's all sorts of things. So you have multiple predicate acts. You have 5,000 of them, to be clear. So that money, he claims that he regretted doing those things. that he was going to use this money for good. And so he decided to go run for president. He was a Democrat and then an independent candidate, and he used this money for his campaign donations, according to his own admissions online. So what that does is it makes that whole, all of that money illegal money, right? So that's now a illegal money money laundering operation as it's defined under the statute. And we've got this alleged, Kim showed the lawsuit in there. I won't get too much into the weeds on these definitions, but they're all defined in the lawsuit, and you, the statutes are there. You can find this on my website, which we'll link to here. So what that means is when somebody gets paid out of that money, right, they now become part of that racketeering enterprise. So you have the nucleus, you have the illicit funds, you have that going to another organization. It follows it. When it transfers out to another one, it goes from there and it spreads like a virus. So RICO can be a very, very powerful tool to help hold all of these people accountable. So the difference between civil RICO and a criminal RICO case, one, the purpose, the burden of proof, the remedies. But other than that, there's the same common elements, right? The existence of an enterprise, the engagement in a pattern of racketeering activity, an effect on interstate or foreign commerce, and the defendant's participation in the enterprise. If it's a criminal case, it has to be brought by a U.S. attorney or a prosecutor like a district attorney. They have to prove, of course, these elements by beyond a reasonable doubt. And in a civil case, any civil lawyer can bring it. In fact, if you're affected by it, you could represent yourself pro se without a lawyer. And you can bring these RICO claims. Now, the elements are the same. So if you've got proof of racketeering activity, theoretically, a U.S. attorney or a district attorney can copy and paste your lawsuit and bring indictments and hold people criminally accountable. So it's a powerful tool. If you can demonstrate and prove your claims, you could say, hey, government, look, this guy needs to be held criminally accountable. Because oftentimes these people ferret money away and you're not going to be able to really get damages. So how do you hold them accountable? Well, the criminal RICO cases, you can get prison sentences of up to 20 years. So, and it's in federal court, that's day for day. You don't get out on good time. You've got, and then the purpose would be to punish the criminal defendants, but on the civil side, it would be to compensate victims of racketeering through the monetary damages. So, and again, that's preponderance of the evidence in a civil claim. That just means more likely than not. So civil RICO claims can serve as a very powerful tool to hold people accountable. And then the government can mirror it and hold people criminally liable. So I'm sure your viewers have seen that RFK Jr., for example, is looking at doing RICO to hold accountable the big pharma. In fact, I did a little bit of research on this beforehand, but he's alleged corruption within the medical establishment, particularly aiming at exposing collusion between the medical boards, journals, and big pharma. So if you have an illicit agreement, any kind of bribes going on in there, that's your predicate act. One person sends it to another, that's two predicate acts. You've got it, you know. So if they're conspiring to falsify the medical literature out there to make big pharma rich, right? If they're doing this and it's harming citizens, it very well could fall within the RICO jurisdiction, civil and criminal. The government can also bring civil claims for damages. Municipalities, for example, could bring the RICO claims. Anybody that has damage to their business or property or livelihoods has standing to bring these things, because property includes money. So anytime somebody's cost you something from their actions, that could be any form of things. So, RFK got run through the ringer on conflict of interest. This sounds familiar. That's one of their favorite tools, is to say, oh, you've got a conflict of interest. You've got this, that, and the other thing. And Sean and I have been dealing with this stuff in the media as part of their discrediting campaign for what we were running into before the election. It was, oh, you've got a conflict of interest. They never identify it. They just accuse you of having it. Then we're in there in the media. It was primarily one journalist outlet that's associating what's happening in Millersville with white supremacists of all sorts. Like, you know, Sean and I have laughed about this it's only kind of funny because accusing us of I used to be on what's called the Civil Rights Cold Cases Committee here in Tennessee. I'm a civil rights lawyer. I've done things been doing this for a long time. So Civil Rights Cold Cases Committee is essentially like the Nazi hunters trying to find KKK individuals. And Sean has actually helped me work on that when we were on the was still a volunteer status. Tennessee has since passed a bill back in 2018. But Sean and I worked on these things, and we got real close to tracking down an actual KKK member who'd lynched somebody. Of course, everybody has started getting dementia and things, and your witnesses, it's very hard to prosecute somebody for something that happened in the early 1900s for a lot of reasons. But anyway, these are just the types of attacks that happen when you know that you're over target. So moving forward into the pedophile sting, we didn't know what was really that there was anything wrong with it until sometime in June or July when these secret recordings came out. And of course, what we found out, and this is just based on admissions. And Kim, if you want to jump in here,
yep.
And play one of the videos here, we can,
I will do that. So let's play that first one. Give me a second. We're going to pull that up right now. And here we go. Play that baby as we speak. And let's share that. Here we go.
Philip and I have seen a lot of organizations and groups of people that have every means to do the right thing, to do something helpful, meaningful. Also, the people who are pretending to either care about it and or pretending to do something about it. It's disgusting how many, just let's call them groups, are so hypocritical is an understatement, because to me, that's pure evil, to be appropriating as if you're part of the solution and to be actually part of the evil. And or facilitating the evil, you're still part of the evil. Turning a blind eye, you're still part of the evil. Turning a blind eye, talking about it, but not doing something about it, but profiting off talking about it because people think you're doing something about it.
Oh, I can just imagine all of the donations, all of these organizations get to combat all of this. And well, where's the rallies? Where are the petitions? Where's, you know, anything?
Shit at all. Like, that's it. Let me give you an example, and I'm not going to mention the name of the organization, not yet, but I eventually will. So we had an issue where we were going to rescue some children, and we were in a bidding war is what it was, because there's a lot of stuff that you got to do to be able to get access to these kids. So we were in a bidding war.
These kids were being sold like in an auction.
Yeah, through CPS, just so you know, in the state of Texas. So we didn't have enough cash on hand to have the winning bid, right? So I personally reached out to an organization that's constantly, yay God, yay Jesus, witches and the Democrats and blah, 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 blah. Well, they get all this tons of freaking money from all this MAGA horse shit, right? And I'm like, look, we're going to need about $35,000. 8 children, only way we're going to be able to get to them. We need the money. Well, I don't know if we can give you the money or not, but I would like to video it and put it in a documentary so we can bring awareness to it. What? And we could not get to the children. And this is a very large organization that runs their damn mouth a whole hell of a lot. And they'd rather go chase ghosts and witches and shit like that and manipulate people than to actually save children. And if they watch this, you know who the hell I'm talking about it. And I don't give a shit how you feel.
Amen. I second that.
Here's the thing. When I was a kid.
All right, so we're going to pause that for a second. But that gives you a taste of Philip Drake and Kim Kelly.
Yeah, and so this video came out before the op, and neither Sean nor I nor anybody that was at Millersville really knew that we didn't watch every video we had of Kim Kelly or Phil Drake to understand what the background was. But apparently Kelly and Drake had this philosophical difference over how best to combat child trafficking. And that difference was over the methods that were being used by Veterans for Child Rescue and Craig Sawyer, the CEO, Craig Sawman Sawyer. So the pedophile stings themselves get all of the guys who are trying to, you know, engage in these acts off the street. That should combat the availability of the, I guess, supply side of children that are being trafficked. And there's no question that they are. This is a $1 trillion. I mean, even the TBI and the FBI, everybody knows that. Like, this is a huge, huge problem. And I think America is probably one of the biggest places for it. But they, you've got like the desire to interfere with a perceived competitor. And that's what that they were talking about. They were talking about V4CR in that video as all basically being all talk and no walk. Now, there's other videos out there too, but there is a essentially they ambushed Craig Sawyer, I guess earlier. This video was in April, and then they did it again in May. Kim Kelly did at the actual pedophile sting on one of the days. We had multiple witnesses that asked about this, but she got very upset, went up and said, you know, give us the $35,000. Of course, Craig Sawyer knows that that's illegal. I mean, if you're on the buy side of trafficked children, your intentions are irrelevant. Just like if you're trying to buy cocaine to take it off the street, you're still engaged in the illegal trafficking of narcotics in this sense, right? So you can't just go buy children and do it, but that's precisely what their business model was. Now, their website's been taken down in December, but of course, everything you put on the internet is there. You just go to the web.archive.org, and we found what was on there with these links and things like that and what they were planning to do. So lawsuit describes in detail how Kim Kelly and Phil Drake were soliciting donations for this, essentially what they called a survivor's center, where they were going to take these children by force or by buying them, whatever, and then taking them to this undisclosed location in South Carolina, like a working farm or something like that with armed guards around it. There are videos up there on YouTube right now that show some very young children, little blonde-haired, blue-eyed babies that I don't know if they're whose children they are, but the defendants are representing that these are children that have been rescued from, and they don't say whether they were purchased or whether they were taken by force from the traffickers. But this is pretty disturbing stuff, and I think that the federal government and state entities like SLED or something need to go check this out, because Phil Drake's in prison right now, waiting charges for cattle theft, as Sean Taylor was mentioning. So who's watching these kids if they're there? I mean, he's flat out admitted that his goal was to take them and then they got to conceal them. So he's admitted to bribing children or bribing government officials. And Kim, if you want to play that video, that's another shocking admission here.
Here we go.
I will tell you this. I'll blackmail shit out of somebody. No, I'll flat do it. I don't care. I used to work for the government, and that's what we used to do. But it wasn't for the right reasons. So I'm an expert at that. But now, if it's a bad, let's say we got a politician that won't do their job and I get some information on them, I blackmail the shit out of them and make them do their job the right way.
You were well trained.
Yeah, I mean, it matters. Listen, it's time that we, the people, use their tactics against them. That's the only way. If we're going to beat them at their game, we got to write the rules. We got to rewrite.
Oh my gosh, that's a mouthful. Does that not tell you the character?
So, meanwhile, in Millersville, we had no idea that these people had this vendetta, and they were coming in here not just to take out V4CR, but to take out the new administration of Millersville. And we were working hard to clean up a broken police department. So there was all kinds of stuff in the news from the prior administration. All those people were gone. And so a whole new administration has come in. We're fixing things. I mean, to give you an idea of the type of fixes that were going on, there's an RV park in Millersville that was having between 1 to 2 bodies show up per week. We were calling it the body farm over there, or the body park. It was pretty grim. And overnight, Chief Morris, who's got plenty of experience in being a chief of police, instantly, I mean, it was overnight, got that completely shut down with more just proper policing techniques and everything else. And again, the prior administration had mostly uncertified reserve officers, and their priorities were to staff a private security company downtown directing traffic. And to be fully fully transparent. They make a lot more money doing that than they do doing actual police work. It's like 3 or 4 times the hourly rate. So you can see
the Brian, I think it's important. You know, we're talking about this type of conduct that's happening with like the security company downtown and how they're giving out these commissions and paying people paying for commissions that have no law enforcement training. They put on police vests and everything that identify them as a police officer. They go to downtown Nashville, which is full of nothing but tourists, to provide security. So if something does happen and these tourists have no idea that this isn't a real police officer that's working off-duty security, that's got no training, and something happens.
Yeah, a lot of liability. Well, and it could lead to, say they don't know the difference
and
between.
I came up with, and the chief and the detectives looked at it and were like, you know, we're going to do a clean sweep. We've got to do a clean sweep. And so we named it Operation Clean Sweep. Mm-hmm. And we started with the top former official, which was the former mayor, because he was connected to all of this as well. So, you know, when we started getting into this, and Bryant can expand on this some more, the amount of people, the amount of people that we were finding, not only at the local level within the city of Millersville, but also within the elections office over at Sumner County, people within the DA's office, people within the court system there in Sumner County, state representatives that were involved in this, people at the comptroller that were involved in this. When I say it goes to the top, not only in the state of Tennessee, but to the top in our federal government. And, you know, they've got allegations against us right now for all of this stuff. That is not true. We've asked for their help. We've done all of our due diligence, and we have people like Kim Kelly and Philip Drake that are coming in here providing all of this fictitious information, and the TBI and the DA are not doing their due diligence to follow through with what they need to do and jump through the hoops that we did legally, rightfully, and by the law. You know, we start looking at the search warrant that they've issued. The search warrant is absolutely ridiculous, Brian. I mean,
yeah. Well, there were two basically alleged crimes or suspected crimes that formed the basis of the search warrants at the city of Millersville and at Sean's house. You had allegations of official misconduct, and that one is just a doozy of circular logic here that really. I don't see how it's feasible to even bring these charges because it's nobody's brought them yet. But that was the basis for part of the search warrant. The other one was this perjury. So the Captain Detective Doris, he's both now. He was just a detective at the time, but Captain Detective Doris was the one who testified about the pedophiles thing. So what's going on the first day here, and a little bit more backstory on it. This was May 17th. The phones were set up. You know, there'd been a lot of work moving forward or in preparation for this pedophile sting of at least 2 weeks in advance. You know, a lot of things were moving forward, like what's the law, what does the DA want, whatever. I know we had several meetings at Millersville City Hall about what the law says. And of course, the advice I gave was, well, here's what it says, but definitely check with the DA to see what he wants. And that's exactly what these men did. The DA wanted the detectives to do the actual solicitation. Our statute, you have to be a minor or a law enforcement officer posing as a minor. So that's abundantly clear, you know, like, however we were going to do this, that had to remain true. Right. So the DA said, yeah, just make sure you're the ones that are doing the handling the solicitation. They can help. They V4CR can help set up the accounts and things. Wait until they get there. And I mean, again, this is part of this was a training op. These guys hadn't done anything like this before, and there's some pretty significant differences from like the like an undercover narcotics sting. So if anybody'd watched some of the videos that were put out about Sean, the attack pieces. You know, they made a big deal about pre-signed search warrants. And said, oh, that's illegal in Tennessee. No, it's not. You've been allowed to do those since the 70s. It's just an advanced tactic that's used for like somebody wearing blue jeans named Bob shows up, all of these things have to happen for that search warrant to be valid. Otherwise, you got to go get another one. Now, if everything happens as planned based on what the agreement was, you can execute that search warrant, get them right there. And that way there's not time for other members of a criminal gang or criminal organization to delete evidence or to, you know, throw away. Anyway, so like that lens was used way in advance, but nobody was going to do that at the actual op because it just wasn't feasible. The other part is how to talk like a 12-year-old. I mean, it's more difficult than you'd think. So V4CR was there to give advice. And on the very
first- Veterans for Child Rescue. Yep. Yeah.
So they're there to helping these guys out, telling them how to talk, what, you know, like LMK, let me know, or BRB and all of this, you know, acronym stuff that the kids are into. So this guy that was arrested, Henry Dean Jordan, this one was an easy one because his profile picture actually showed the like warnings from people. And I'll pull that up here in a minute, Kim, and we can share my screen to look at this. Yeah. But you know, essentially what the perjury allegation was Detective Doris testified that he'd set up the account. That's not material anyway, but he did help. He got help with it from Tim Brown. That's a fact. We've got plenty of witnesses that sit there. Tim Brown was a contractor with Veterans for Child Rescue. He is, in fact, certified in this countering human trafficking or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Right. Let me interject for one second. I want to paint a picture for everybody. First of all, to have a RICO case like this, you really need one issue. We talked about this last night. One thing that you can prove, right? In this case, there are over 20.
There's a lot.
Yeah, the evidence is, and as you guys are delivering this information, and I don't want it to go over people's heads. It's a lot of details, and there's things that we can show you in that RICO case that Bryant is going to pull up in just a moment. But I think it's so important that we go and look at the RICO case, and you guys are going to have access to that a little bit later. I'm going to put that link in here for you to access the case. Here it is, right down below. It's BryantKroll.com/downloads. Go through this case. There are quite a few of you that are listening right now who already have gone through this RICO case multiple times. The reason why this is so important, this is laid out to all of us as a template. We've been fighting across the country for, you know, election integrity, exposing the fraud, all of these things. We have everybody who is an expert in an area. It's going to be imperative that we, the people, unite and come together right now. Utilize this as the groundwork. It is a tool to be used. So there's some of the information that Bryant and Sean cannot share, evidence that they cannot share. And the reason they cannot share it is because it would be a national breach of security. Remember, the tentacles go far and wide. Okay. Now, Brian, I've got a surprise visitor that may be popping in just a bit. You know, we may have Craig Salman Sawyer, Veterans for Child Rescue, to pop in for a few minutes, but I'm going to pass it back to you. That way we can open up that RICO case, take a look, and just start showing some of that evidence that people can begin to see, oh gosh, I could use that. I could use that. Like, I want that, those brains to kind of start connecting the dots.
You got it. Yep. I've got, if you want to share my screen, I've got the part here that's.
Here we go.
That's Detective Candler's hand. So he took this picture. Again, the TBI's got these, they're all the metadata in there is all time stamped. So it's all around the time when this happened, but there were people literally warning about this guy. You can zoom in a little bit. There's pretty harsh words here about this guy being a child molester. You can see that. So there's this warning. Now, once this was seen by Detective Candler and Tim Brown, they handed that phone over to Todd Doris. So they're all sitting at a table. This is how this op was going. And then there was talk with this guy about setting up, you know, hey, by the way, I'm 13. You know, that's not exactly what was said, but they got the age out there, and then the guy still went on. And I mean, he made some very lewd sexual advances and totally violated the statute. And then he started traveling up on a bicycle from North Nashville into Millersville. And Millersville, they share a border with Davidson County. So that's the Nashville link there. There's a border. So he's coming up here to have sex with somebody that he believes is a 12-year-old girl. And, you know, the profile picture did use a picture that was AI generated of Kim Kelly, but it was Todd Doris that picked it. So this all these alleged lies that were out there that served as the predicate for this seizure of evidence and the release of this guy was based on one person's statements against a whole bunch of people there that everybody's consistent. No, this is what happened. So, and that one person was Kim Kelly. So she goes in with this idea that they're gonna get evidence, they're gonna promote their business, and they're gonna promote their it's Digital Defenders United is one of them, Uniting America's Incorporated is their joint operation where that was part of the Phil Drake presidential campaign, and then you have another business, Grow Online, which was her online marketing, and it was Kim Kelly that was handling the online marketing for Veterans for Child Rescue at the time. So this op gets over, and unbeknownst to us, she'd hijacked their social media, uploaded a video of herself saying that, oh, this was, I did all of this stuff, locked them out of there.
So just to go back, so Kim Kelly hijacked Veteran for Child Rescue, of whom she was working for, social media.
Yes. Okay. So what's happening, this is right after the op, they question her about, you know, hey, what are you doing with this guy, Drake, that video that was out where he's talking about the unnamed organization. She was questioned about that video, denied that she was supporting him. I mean, she'd just look right at you and tell you, yeah, you know, no, that didn't happen. I don't remember that, blah, blah, blah. Well, we saw the video. So they confront her about that. She's obviously, it was a very uncomfortable conversation to have to accuse somebody of infiltrating and investigating the organization that she works for, which was Veterans for Child Rescue. So they wanted to know, what was it you're trying to investigate? And this Phil Drake guy seems to think that there's donation issues there. Of course, Craig will tell you all about how many checks and balances they have for their 501c3 and where the money goes. It's all got to be accounted for. And, you know, what is the big thing was, who is this guy, Phil Drake, to investigate anybody? Like, what is he doing? Well, in August later, it wasn't really about an investigation. It was about destroying them. He said he wanted to, quote, take those bastards out, referring to V4CR, Veterans for Child Rescue, and the Millersville detectives, who had no idea who this guy is, you know. So all of that's happening in the background. And then you've got this intent to come in here, to travel across interstate lines, right, interstate commerce, to interfere with a law enforcement investigation, obstruct justice, and then in the process, promote your own unlawful business. And that's an important part of civil RICO, is promoting or assisting others in promoting an unlawful business could render you liable. That could make you a co-conspirator. So, their whole scheme here was to just manufacture this evidence. And the lawsuit goes into some details about what the types of things were that were there, highly edited video recordings. And of course the recordings are just of one person saying something. It's Kim Kelly saying something. So there's a very, very concerning manipulation tactics. I mean, it's some expert level stuff. It really is. But I have a recording of myself with a narrative, and then I say, oh, well, I've got it on recording. And if you don't question, well, wait a minute, what did the other guy actually say? Well, that's cut off, you know, that you don't actually hear the other side of things. You can't really trust that evidence. In fact, in Tennessee and in federal court, you have the best evidence rule, which you have to play the whole recording or it doesn't come in, you know, because editing does take out context of everything. So they have all these highly edited videos, and I say they have all these. There's actually only like two or three that were on this one that are publicly available, and they don't say what the defendants or the news outlet wanted them to say. There was never anybody allowed to do the texting and the soliciting with these defendants, and it didn't happen in the case. But that's what she said, to attack these two detectives who were just doing their jobs. And this guy got, this guy's free. This guy got released.
So this case got dropped.
Now, I guess they could bring it back. It was what's called nulli prosequi. That means it's dismissed mm-hmm. without prejudice. But who knows how many people this guy has victimized?
That's right.
It's infuriating. And I mean, the damage to the plaintiff's reputation is they're getting all sorts of cases dismissed because people don't, they're, you know, say, well, it's, we can't have somebody alleged to have committed perjury, you know, bring these cases. Now, there's a whole lot of stuff that needs to happen for that to even become admissible, like an actual conviction or anything. Mm-hmm. But it's pretty ludicrous to take the word of these people engaged in an illicit act, illicit enterprise, and to pit it against the detective two detectives who were just there doing their jobs, you know? So like they didn't do any podcasts like Sean had done in the years prior. They were just there doing the work. There's videos of them typing into the things. And one person as part of this illicit business derailed that. So I think it's very concerning, but it demonstrates the type of acts that can be predicate acts for a civil RICO. So you've got, I didn't even count them, Kim, but there's, it looks like about 20 in there different. So like the money laundering, there's like three different offenses that are related with that. The human trafficking, the buy side of it, the interfering with law enforcement, the obstruction of justice, the things of that nature. You only have to have one of those.
Wow.
Rare lawsuit where we've got a whole bunch mm-hmm. of them. So,
You know, Brian, I think it's definitely important to, you know, we got to let the people know, you know, like, you know, Philip Drake, you know, he's been involved in frauds and schemes in the past. Right now, it looks like it's cattle theft and fraud of $130,000 to $160,000. You've got so many different things that these two have been involved in. Drake claiming that the government brought him in and used Hitler's Mein Kampf to come up with Q.
Oh, yes.
Let's play that video. Hang on a second. I want to play that video. That is one video that everybody needs to see. Hang on. We've got this one. We've got, hang on one second. That is not the one. This is the one. Oh, man, it's going to drive me crazy because for whatever reason, that just got shut somewhere. All right, Sean, keep going. I'm going to find that video.
So basically, Drake was claiming that the government came in and asked him to go after the Christian Trump supporters, the MAGA supporters, because as he said in the previous videos, they're pieces of shit. And, you know, it's funny because Phil Williams has the same ideology that he hates anybody who's MAGA or Christian. Basically, he attacks them as well. But you have Phil Williams claiming, oh, QAnon cop, conspiracy cop, and this and that. But yet he's taking the word of Kim Kelly and her partner, Philip Drake, who is stating that the federal government brought him in to create QAnon based off of Mein Kampf, Hitler, to go after Christian MAGA supporters.
All right.
This is the kind of lunacy that we're dealing with.
Let's play that video. Here we go, Sean.
Federal government, so I contracted with multiple agencies. Now, an independent contractor is different than a contracting company. I contracted with multiple three-letter agencies. I contracted with these three predominantly. I was handled by predominantly the OIG, Office of Inspector General, but the Office of Inspector General would basically lease me out to different agencies, and then I would work with that agency. I would report to that particular agency. A lot of times with the things that I was asked to do, I could pretty well name my price, which is the reason why I done it. You know, back in that time, I cared more about money than I cared about anything else. It's just that's just the person I was at the time, you know. It's the gray area. It's the loopholes that they can use to basically violate the rights of the American people, violate the Constitution, spy on the American people. It's like the CIA. The CIA cannot operate on American soil. They can't spy on the American people by law. So what do? They hire independent contractors to do it. This is a third party, plausible deniability. They can always just say, you know, we had nothing to do with it. I was nothing more than a tool. And anytime that anything was passed down from any of the administrations, and I worked for two, and both of them did this, that violated the Constitution, and that none of these three-letter agencies could be part of, I got the phone call. The orders come from the commander-in-chief. I go and execute the plan. I'm not going to go into great detail about my team, but my team consisted of people who knew this realm very, very well, and that worked on their own, but worked for me, if that makes any sense. I led my own team, but I was the only one to contract. My entire career revolved around violating the rights of the American people. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. That's what it was. You uproot your livelihood. You go there. You become part of the community. You make the people in the community trust you. And then you manipulate situations so you can follow out your orders.
It's upsetting to learn that there are individuals who will betray their country for a dollar, for a paycheck.
It is.
It's upsetting. It really is.
And I was one of them. I can make no excuses. All I can do is offer apologies. I will never make an excuse for the reason why I did what I did, because there is no excuse. All I can do is offer my apologies and from this day forward, educate people on how it really works. I myself am involved in politics now. I'm helping someone build a survivor center. The team that I had, most of the team that I had, whenever I resigned, they left. You know, they came with me. They worked with me anyway. So now we are on our own. We have our own NGO. We have our own independent contracting business called American Independent Contractors. And our sole purpose is to rescue kids who are being sex trafficked. And we don't ask permission to go in. I mean, that's all I'm going to say about it. If the kids are in need and their innocence is in jeopardy, if their life's in jeopardy, we go. We were trained to do it. We go, which is why we're building a survivor center, because we kind of need it, because you can't trust government to house the children. You can't. You know, I've seen a lot of that. But to get back to the topic, I want to talk about QAnon. Q. And I'm not proud of this by no means. So if at any time I laugh about something I say, it's not because I think it's funny. It hurts. It hurts what I had a hand in doing to the American people and manipulating a large group of people, which I love dearly. And I'm going to also explain why that group of people were the target. Now, QAnon, when the orders were passed to create QAnon, and they were passed down from the administration, because none of the three-letter agencies had the constitutional rights to create this. Therefore, they had to reach out, the administration had to reach out to independent contractors. At the time, I was the top independent contractor in my field. Sometime mid to end of 2016 is when we started it and it was released. I believe because it was out of my hands by then, by the time it went to the tech people and was released. I believe it was released in October of 2017. I know the year is correct. The date, the month, I'm not real sure of, but I know for a fact it was released in 2017. Because we did our part, and then it was, we're not tech people. I'm not a tech person. That was out of my expertise. The psychological part of it, that was my expertise. So that was what I worked on. When the orders were passed for QAnon to be released, of course, it wasn't named QAnon. It didn't have a name at the time. We were given the book, the English translation of Mein Kampf. That translates into My Strong Struggle. And if you don't know what that is, that's Hitler's playbook. It's an autobiography / playbook. He explained what he did to try to justify why he was doing it. So we were given that, and we were told to create this thing, which had no name yet, based off the book of Mein Kampf. And it was to go after the Democratic Party. But not to go after the Democratic Party. And that's where it gets like really weird. In Mein Kampf, it was about Hitler. He was justifying why to exterminate Jews, his struggle. You know, he was always the victim, so on and so forth. You know, he played the victim throughout the book. He played the victim throughout his reign as a dictator. But we took where he had spoke about the Jews doing the bloodletting, the Jews were vermin, so on and so forth. The Jews were the bad guys. We replaced Jews with Democrats. Okay. Now you got to remember, this is all about dividing and conquering. This isn't about political parties. This is just about dividing the people. If we're divided, we're weak. If we're weak, we can be controlled by the minority, which are the elites, which is the establishment. And ultimately, that was the goal. We were to base it off the book Mein Kampf, and we were to micro-target people within the Christian faith. Now, before we go any further, there's going to be a lot of people that's going to get in an uproar with me saying that. But I want to explain to you why people of the Christian faith were targeted. People of the Christian faith tend to love this country more than anybody else in this nation.
I'll agree with that.
They tend to. Not only that, they make up at the time between 60 and 63% of this nation were Christian. Used to be a lot higher, but it's lower now. They were the majority. They were the powerhouses within the nation. Their faith was based on scripture. So we were told to figure out a way to manipulate their faith into adding something else to it to create a living savior. So we were to attack the people who love the country the most. We were to attack the most strong, the most powerful, to break them down and divide them. And I'm pretty sure we all can agree that what is now known as QAnon, I'm not bragging, but did a pretty good job of dividing a whole lot of Christians. And that was it.
All right. We're going to pause that right there. Oh, my gosh. It is so believable. It is so believable. And so here's a guy who's in jail right now for cattle fraud. So from cattle fraud to kids, walk me through it. Do you want me to play more of that video?
I've had enough of listening to him talk.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, he called it right. He called it right when he said, I'm just brilliant. He says, I'm a tool. Yeah, he's a tool. All right. I just don't think he realizes what tool. So, you know, he goes, you're looking at commodities, what he considers a commodity. So what he's looking at is cattle fraud. So stealing cattle. He's got no respect for the human life. He's got no respect for life and period. So yeah. He goes from cattle fraud into human trafficking, child trafficking.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's look at that. He's admitted this. These are open admissions that he has made. So obviously this guy has, you're right. He's got a love of money and power, and he ran for president. I mean, how much more narcissistic do we need to be? Yeah. And this is the guy that, you know, Kim Kelly is with that infiltrated and has gone to Phil Williams and the TBI. So what does that say? Number one, about our news media. They are helping put out propaganda that they know is not true because they're editing the tapes to try to make it fit their agenda. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then you have the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation not doing their due diligence, looking into these individuals, looking into their backgrounds. I mean, Kim Kelly admits she comes from a sex cult.
Yeah.
She admits all of these things. So, you know, when we're dealing with any type of an undercover operation, undercover sting, and we're using an informant, we have to be able to determine what their credibility is. So a lot of times we have to use that informant one or two times to do things undercover, get it documented to be able to build their credibility so they have standing in court. There's no credibility that's been made here. Okay, the only thing that's been made here is an ass out of a lot of the people. And let me tell you something. The TBI, there's a lot of very good people there who are wanting to do their job and do their job the way that they were trained to do it. But when you have an administration that's listening to people like her, it's turned their administration into an ass, okay? That's what it's done, because they haven't done their due diligence and they haven't followed the protocols that are set in place, okay? So that's very bad, especially for what's supposed to be the premier law enforcement agency of the state of Tennessee. And to try to attack two veteran detectives. Michael Candler is one of the most honorable guys that there is. Mm-hmm. There was a huge, huge thing that went around the nation about the Laverne Police Department several years ago and the sex cabades that were happening there. Half the department and the chief were fired for having sexual affair with a female officer. I mean, it went nationwide. The memes were everywhere. Well, let me tell you, that wasn't the first time that happened at the city of Laverne. Yeah. That was the second time. There was another female victim that Detective Candler stood up for, testified on her behalf to try to take these guys out that were part of this whole thing that was going on, this whole sex capades going on at Laverne. But you know what? Detective Candler is the one who's got ostracized. He's built his credibility by coming out and telling the truth about the things that have happened. And they want to attack him. He was an undercover officer that they unmasked on national television through Phil Williams' story. Okay. He could be out anywhere in public with a family member or anything like that. And then all of a sudden people know who he is. They know what he's doing and all of that. They've literally unmasked him and put him and his family in danger. That's unacceptable. It's not okay. Then you have Todd Doris, who has absolutely busted his ass for Northern Middle Tennessee and several counties and municipalities, who has had some of the largest cases there is in those areas and has absolutely done his due diligence. I mean, doggedness, due diligence to make sure the right thing is done. And they're attacking him after we invited them in, after we created a task force, we had already made contact with the AOC, the Administrative Office of the Courts, after making contact with the Department of Commerce and Insurance, after making contact with the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation, after making contact with the State Attorney General's office and having several meetings with him. After all of this and us trying and doing, not just trying, but doing the right thing, they want to attack us. You have to ask why. The reason why is because of the corruption. Why are they trying to cover up the narcotics trafficking? Why are they trying to cover up the human trafficking? Why are they trying to cover all of this up? Why are they trying to cover up the mortgage fraud? Why is everything going into the housing and things of that nature? Why is this district attorney not prosecuting the people for election fraud and it's the election fraud and a voter fraud? Why is he not doing that? He's only going after the people that don't fit his agenda. It's awfully funny. In Robertson County, which half of Millersville is Robertson County, they just indicted a lady for the exact same thing that Christina Templet did that got this entire case kicked off. Okay, they just indicted her. So what they're doing is this corrupt uniparty is coming together of Democrats and Republicans that are corrupt, making up the uniparty. They're keeping their stuff going, keeping their people in power to be able to attack at the local, county, and state level, because they've got to maintain this power within the state. Because guess what? We're going to have people like Cash Patel. We've got people like Trump. We've got people like RFK. We've got people like Tom Homan, who is going out there and busting their butt, putting their lives on the line to be able to help this country and build it back. And it's going to be great again. So this is where we need to take that RICO, and we need to stand up, educate the people, and move this thing forward. This is what we need to do. And this is what's going to happen.
I'll tell you, Sean, I think one thing we should probably look at doing in the future, we've got several episodes of this, but I think it's showing people the importance of open source intelligence and the types of things that they can do to help, prove cases or get these allegations going. Tying it back in with this fraud and all of this stuff that was going on with defendants Kim Kelly and Phil Drake. They also just, according to their website, when digging on that, just regular old fraud, taking advantage of natural disasters. We saw where they were saying they were going to send a team to Maui.
Yeah.
Maui fires and stuff like that. So when you bring a lawsuit like this and you've got all these multiple layers of corruption, it's like a wedding cake of issues that have gone on. And to piggyback off of what Sean was saying with the Unitary Party, that is exactly what came into Millersville. We had election issues that the city's never seen before. Typically your campaign contributions, and we'll get into more of that stuff in another episode, but you're talking about people get about $1,000 for this is a small town. You don't need a whole lot. And there were all these special interest groups, including what can only be described as a centrist uniparty of what they referred to as moderate Republicans and Democrats coming together. Well, they funded three of these people who came in, and now the first arrest of Operation Clean Sweep, former Mayor Tim Lassiter, is now right back in to the head of the Board of Zoning Appeal Commission for the city. You have multiple other acts of they're just undoing all of the work that was done there to fix these problems. And so that just that's what it looks like when you have multiple layers of corruption trying to affect a result within a city. And it started with the discrediting, the false allegations. And I don't want to take up too much more time here, but the other side of this being there's the perjury allegations, which we're confident are going to be disproven. You always have to look at the credibility of your witnesses from a prosecution standpoint or from a defense standpoint. And these are the types of things that are going to come out if there's ever a trial. Who is this witness? Why is she the only one that says these things? And let's see the full videos of this, what she claims it shows, and it's not going to show what she has been claiming it's going to show.
So Brian, let me ask you real quick. Has Kim Kelly is still free right now? She's not arrested. You know, we know that Drake has been arrested, but where are we at with Kim Kelly?
She's apparently not implicated, at least as far as we can tell, in this cattle theft issue. Now, the whether somebody wants to look at this RICO lawsuit and bring a federal criminal charge based on the same stuff, that's up to a U.S. attorney or a district attorney to do for those things. I know that there's been a criminal complaints filed by Veterans for Child Rescue against her. She claims to have no knowledge of that, but that doesn't mean that they weren't filed. I've seen them. So that's one thing that could pop up from the extortion attempts. And then I guess they said that she'd run their card or something like that when she shouldn't have, taking money. But yeah, these are things that, I know a long time ago in Tennessee, for example, a civil attorney could be appointed as a prosecutor essentially and could do these things. They've made that more difficult, probably for a lot of good reasons. And I could see why it happened, though, for the very reasons we're dealing with now. Yeah. And I'll tell, to the viewers, I don't know what state you're in, but something that you could look at if you're having an issue with a prosecutor who's not going to bring something to a grand jury or something like that. In a lot of states, you can go bring it yourself. Now, of course, it's what's the prosecutor going to do if he doesn't want the charge to be there? He'll just dismiss it like what happened with the former mayor, Tim Lassiter. So and then, of course, you've already got issues with double jeopardy. It can't be brought again, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But, this whole idea. And again, the perjury allegations are the main thrust of what was happening against Detective Doris. Then the other aspect of this is this official misconduct or whatever that claimed for Sean. And I don't know how much more time we've got to get into that. We might need to do that.
Here's what I think. So this was a nice bite size. This civil federal RICO case discussed today was really a microcosm of the systematic corruption and opens the door for a federal criminal RICO case. This is a template for all of us fighting the corruption. So gentlemen, I just want to say thank you so much for putting your lives on the line, for giving us your time, for joining us over the next couple of weeks and exposing all of this corruption. So I am so excited for what's ahead. I pray for protection over you. I know Sean is a federal whistleblower, so continued protection, Sean. You have had to move multiple times. We had Fox TV twice put out your address. Okay, so we know when they do something like that, there is an agenda behind it. So we're just going to pray right now in the name of Jesus for continued protection, continued wisdom and discernment for all those involved in bringing the truth out into the light and for those standing for justice. And I would say that those that are listening right now and watching right now, that is you. So thank you for being with us today. Sean, thank you. And Brian, thank you. We're going to be here again. So guys, let me give you the information, our audience and our listeners. So on February 13th, so there's going to be a couple of weeks in between right now. But on February 13th, That's our second segment of a three-part series of Operation Clean Sweep. And this one, mortgage fraud with tentacles leading to transnational corruption, funding the racketeering and paying off of election officials. So again, that is on February 13th. So that is right before Valentine's Day. Book it on your calendar. Put a reminder. We're going to go live. And I want to say a shout out to every single live streamer. We have over 70 freedom-loving patriots. These are show hosts who put their time aside today, their valued time, because they understand the importance of this case and taking our justice back. Thank you to every live streamer that showed up today that is getting this information out. This is an example. This is such an example of being united. So we are going to accomplish more together. So thank you, live streamers. Thank you to every single one of you that showed up today, that took time out of your schedule. Now, we've heard Sean say this in many conversations and shows I've done with Sean before. Sean will tell you, listen, when Trump is in office, that doesn't mean we're done. Sean, what would you say? Are we just getting started?
We're just getting started. Okay. It's time that we stand up and all of these issues that we have been seeing across this country. It's time that we stand up, we bring these things to light, and we start getting the accountability. We can't do that without the American people. The American people have to come together. Again, they've tried to separate us by race, creed, religion, sexual orientation. They've tried to put us into all these groups and pit us against each other. Bull crap. Don't accept that anymore. We're Americans. We are God-fearing Americans, and we need to stand together, and we need to come together, and we need the accountability. President Trump, Cash Patel, Tom Holman, RFK Jr., everybody, they're going to need our help. They need our assistance. They can't go after something and take it out if they don't know what it is. You, the people, know what it is. Therefore, that information needs to get to where it can make an effect. Okay. That's where you take your power back. So, you know, we've got people up in Putnam County, Tennessee with the I-40 murder billboard. We've got people like Aaron Key that they say was a suicide when we know it was a homicide. We know people like Lee Terry, who supposedly was a suicide. We know that was a homicide. Okay. All of these different things. That is not just in Tennessee. That is around this country. And these people were taken out because they knew about the corruption and the people who were involved. So we need you, the people. This is where we, the people, come together. We got to get this information out. We've got to help our people in charge now. We've got people who care. So now is the time to take your power back, get this information out. Let's get it to the correct people that we need to so we can get something done.
Come on. Come on. Again, Sean, thank you. Bryant, thank you. Go and follow Bryant. So Bryant, they can access this. I'm going to come back to the screen over here so I can share it. Okay, you guys can access the federal civil RICO case at bryantkroll.com/downloads. Go there and take some time over the next couple of weeks to dig through so that you are ready for our next segment. And then I want you guys to also support Sean. There's another link that will be coming for Bryant Kroll and for the attorney fees, but this is also a link to support a retired assistant chief, Sean Taylor. It's givesandgo.com/standwithSean. I'll tell you, we wish none of this costed money. We wish it didn't cost anything and we could just get done with what we can get done with for free, but it does cost and it is worth the cost. This is our truth. This is our freedom. This is our justice, America. It's time to take our justice back. It's time to take our power back. So this is the completion of round one of Operation Clean Sweep. Round two is coming up again, February 13th. That's the second of the third part series. And that's going to take place at 10 a.m. Pacific on the 13th, 12 p.m. Central and 1 p.m. Eastern. So same time frame. And then the third segment is going to be Operation Clean Sweep 2020. That's going to be February 20th. Same time, 10 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Central and 1 p.m. Eastern. That one is Christina Template, election fraud, voter fraud, residency fraud. Guys, that pulls it together. You're going to understand how it's all connected and how the tentacles go far and wide. So we are so excited to see you for round two on the 13th. Operation Clean Sweep, mortgage fraud with tentacles leading to transnational corruption. May God bless you. May God bless this country. Let's take our justice back. And just like Sean Taylor just said, let's take our power back. Oh, guys, thank you so much for being with us today. And hang out, guys. Don't go anywhere yet. We're going to do a quick closing. And then if you just listen on in, there's a word of power at the end of this. So stand by and we're going to close it out right over here, baby. Here we go.
Thank you for joining us for the Take Your Power Back show. As Peak Performance Breakthrough Coach Kim Yater speaks to other freedom-loving Americans that are making a positive impact in the world by standing in truth amid adversity. Listen in weekly and learn how to take your power back in your freedom, in your personal and professional life, in technology and creativity, and in your faith. Be encouraged, be inspired, be transformed as you step into your power and take action in your leadership and allow your voice to be heard. Together, let's take your power back. To sponsor and support the Take Your Power Back show, go to takeyourpowerbackshow.com. That's takeyourpowerbackshow.com and take your power back. Thank you for joining us for the Take Your Power Back show. As Peak Performance Breakthrough Coach Kim Yater speaks to other freedom-loving Americans that are making a positive impact in the world by standing in truth amid
adversity. Today, we delve into the profound verses from the King James Version that shed light on this very topic. John 8, verse 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth referred to in this verse is the knowledge of God's word and his teachings. When we understand and embrace the truth of the gospel, it liberates us from the chains of sin, deception, and worldly burdens. This freedom is not just physical but spiritual, allowing us to live in peace and righteousness. Galatians 5 verse 1. Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Christ has provided us with the ultimate freedom from sin and its consequences. This verse encourages believers to stand firm in that freedom and not to be ensnared by the old ways or the temptations of the world. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 17.
5,000 years of Chinese music and dance in one night. A spectacle.
Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The presence of the Holy Spirit brings freedom. This freedom is from the weight of sin, guilt, and condemnation. It's a reminder that when we invite the Spirit into our lives, we experience a profound liberation that transcends human understanding. Romans 8 verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. This verse highlights the contrast between the old law, which brought condemnation, and the new law of the Spirit, which brings life. Through Christ, we are freed from the penalties of sin and are granted eternal life. Galatians 5 verse 13. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. While we are granted freedom in Christ, this verse reminds us not to misuse this freedom for selfish desires. Instead, we should use our liberty to serve others in love, reflecting the heart of Jesus. James 1 verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. True freedom comes from not just hearing God's word, but actively living it out. Those who act on God's teachings find blessings and a deeper sense of liberty in their lives. 1 Peter 2 verse 16. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Our freedom should not be an excuse to harm others or act with ill intent. Instead, we should use our freedom to serve God and benefit those around us. Romans 6 verse 18. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Once we are liberated from the grip of sin, we become servants of righteousness. This transformation allows us to live a life that is pleasing to God and beneficial to ourselves and others. John 8 verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Jesus is the ultimate source of true freedom. When he liberates us, our freedom is genuine and complete, not just a temporary or superficial state.